Episode 12, Digital Collectibles and Member Guest Season. Cole and Rusty are back after some time off, where we get together to talk about the latest in NFT world, Lord of the Rings, Batman NFTs, the big Reddit boom, and several others. We also recap Cole's back-to-back member guest weekends. Here we go. Before we get started, we have to give a thanks to our sponsor, Spartan Insurance in Greenville, South Carolina. The owner is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Jay Keller. He deals with every form of insurance, from personal to commercial, and will take excellent care of you and your insurance needs. Give him a call for a quote today, 864-533-3350, or visit his website at www.spartaninsure.com. Welcome back. It has been a minute. We might need to get Mace to get the rights to his music. Welcome back. I don't know if anybody remembers that song. Welcome back. Welcome back. Maybe we can get our agent to get that song and we'll play it at the beginning. But it's been a minute, Rusty. I'm glad to be here. This is Web3 Putts with Cole and Rusty. Way too long. How are you doing tonight?
It has been a while. 2 weeks feels like 2 months. I'm good. I'm glad to be back. Last week, had some family stuff going on, and we had a guest scheduled that had to postpone. So we figured we'd take a little weekend to regroup and get going again. It looks like, hey, whatever we did worked. I mean, ETH is pumping. It's up like 23%.
It is.
Over the last 2 days. Hopefully everybody patted their bags before the pump, and unfortunately, I did not.
I have to say that I did not with our Web3 Putts wallet either. It's still in USD, so.
The Web3 Putts DAO that is just between you and I.
That's right.
At the moment.
That's right. Yeah, we missed the pump, but I'm kind of patiently waiting as well, personally, and with our wallet, our DAO, Not sure. You know, a lot of people are talking about 2023 being really bad and everybody's saving money right now and all that kind of stuff. So just kind of waiting to see what happens. You know, this might be a temporary pump. It might not. But I'm going to wait for a little bit and make sure before we go all in.
Yeah, I think just continue to add a little bit here and there as we can. And, you know, at the end of the day, let's just hope that we're end up on the right side of it.
That's right. We'll keep buying the dips, baby.
There you go.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm good. Glad to be back in the studio. Hate missing a pod. You know, the Wednesday night midweek pod does me right. So good to be back here as well. A lot of stuff, I'm sure, you know, NFTs, Web3, everything moves so fast. Us being off a week was like being off for a month. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. A lot on the golf side as well. In those 2 week span, I've played in 2-member guest tournaments. So I got some recapping there to do as well. But I figured we'd start off with NFTs and just kind of cover some of the latest that's going on in the Web3 world.
Well, I think the number one thing going on Web3 right now is the Reddit NFTs, or as they're calling them, collectible avatars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been huge. And I'm not on Reddit. I've never been on Reddit. Do you?
So I dabbled in it just a little bit. I wish I would have been in it, you know, last year around this time when the whole GameStop deal happened.
Yeah, sure.
Never really could figure it out. I'm sure a lot of our listeners across the globe are on Reddit for various reasons. I know there's a lot of news that comes out on it, a lot of information. But no, I've never really done it, but they dropped these collectible avatars that they teased in 2021. I guess they had some of their independent artists that are part of the Reddit platform. They designed them. They did $2.5 million in daily trade volume this week, and promoted 3 million people to sign up for Reddit NFT wallets. And the reason that 3 million people is is important is because OpenSea, which is the number one marketplace for NFTs, only has 2.3 million users. Mm. And Reddit already surpassed it. So
I think they made it a lot more user-friendly for non-crypto native people.
Right.
Apparently, and I don't know anything really. I haven't bought any or been on, like I said, I've never been on Reddit before.
It's on Polygon. Yeah. It's on Poly. There's 40,000 collectibles. On average, a sale for one is about $206. So it's, I guess in July of last year, they released some, and one of the NFTs sold for like 115 ETH last year.
Mm.
I don't know a ton about what it was or, too much about it, but it just kind of popped up. I guess not being up on Reddit, it wouldn't have really been able to be there at Mint, but.
Yeah, they said, I guess there's three collections that hit the top 10 on OpenSea.
Yep.
Which I think they were saying that they almost surpassed the Bored Ape Yacht Club in sales. I think it was at 538 ETH, and Bored Apes were at 642.
Oh, wow.
So they're, really close to doing the same amount of volume. They said, according to Dune Analytics, I think I told you about this website. It's pretty cool. If any of our listeners haven't checked it out, Dune Analytics, but that Reddit NFTs grossed over 6.5 million total sales volume so far.
That's based off Mint. That's not even secondary.
Yeah, that's sales volume to date.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it just happened, what, Monday?
I believe so. Yeah, all of this is very recent this week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they were even interviewed Franklin, which we've mentioned on the show before.
Yeah.
They were talking to him about it.
So he had another Bored Ape issue this week.
Oh, really? I didn't see this.
Yeah. I mean, you can find it on Twitter. He talks about it, but he was going to list one he was going to list it at 90 ETH. But he fat fingered it, his words, not mine. And he only did it at 9 ETH.
Mm.
And so somebody bought it like.
Oh, so I'm sure. Quick. I would have bought it if I'd have been paying. No, I don't have 9 ETH sitting there ready to do that, but.
I could.
Yeah, I could for a Bored Ape.
If I needed it. But so that was a big debacle. He's had some issues lately. He got hacked. He had. That we talked about his ENS.
Yeah,
little scam that he not scam. He was really just messing with the system. Got screwed on that one, but hey, I have lots of respect for him. He hooked me up a little bit.
Yeah.
So hate to see that happen to him, but somebody that he bounces back every single time. He posts every flip. He's the, he's the reason. For lack of a better term, why the flip to a doodle was ever born in my head and on this pod. So watching him flip things, we have not had that kind of success.
Not even close. But, yeah.
It's pretty cool. He's brought a lot of things to the
poster child.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's the number one Bored Ape holder. I think there's some others out there, but I know he's top 10. But he's definitely the number one in terms of out in the public.
Right.
Docs, everybody knows who he is.
Yeah, I think Gary Vee and Matt Kalish have a bunch, but I don't know if they're in the top 10 or not.
But yeah, I mean, speaking of Matt Kalish and speaking what you said about the Reddit NFT project, how it's bringing more people into making it easier for people to buy NFTs or collect digital collectibles, which kind of sounds a little bit better than an NFT.
Mm-hmm.
DraftKings just dropped their Rainmakers Dead Fellas collaboration, where some of the Rainmakers, there's 13 players that are basically dead fellowed out. So If you buy a pack, which there was 10,400 packs of the Dead Fellows NFTs with Rainmakers, 13 players total, and each pack was $99. So I went and bought one. I learned this weekend, you know, going back to 8 weeks ago or whatever it was when we first started talking about the Rainmakers and having to do some more information, get some more information. You and I both bought the Sly Crocs, you know, with Sup Ducks and Rainmakers and or DraftKings. And I learned how to play Rainmakers. I played this weekend, finished right outside the money with my normal, with just my free pack. But got some really good insight. And then I saw this pop up. So today I bought a pack of the Dead Fellows and figured we could go through it real quick.
I like this.
Live here on the pod, our today, your tomorrow, on what we landed. So again, there's 13 players
for $100.
There's going to be some, there's different competitions this weekend. Some you have to have two of the Dead Fellows NFTs. Some you have to have three. You can win a Dead Fellows, you know, original NFT that you can win some money, different things. If you hold all three of the cards, I'm sorry, 13 of the cards, there's going to be an airdrop later down the line, which is pretty sick. You can go, you know, they have a really good marketplace where you can just go buy individual cards that you want. You know, if you want to pay $7 for a, I looked at it earlier today. Trevor Lawrence was like $7. So
they,
if you wanted to buy, what's that?
So they are taking the NFL players and making them like zombies. Is that?
That's right. Yep.
They're turning them into a Dead Fella looking zombie.
Yeah. So it's like their silhouette, and then they take the picture of Tyreek Hill and they
zombify it.
They change the art to make it look, you know, look like a Dead Fella.
Yeah.
So
I listened to the Props and Drops podcast earlier today, and they were talking about this a little bit. Do you have to pay to enter the contest? So I opened my pack with some Subducts Rainmakers thing, and I never tried to enter a contest. Do you have to pay to enter the contest as well, like a normal?
No, so that's the cool thing that I learned. That was kind of what was pushing me away, because I only had like 15 cents in my DraftKings account, so I couldn't enter anything.
Because you're a FanDuel guy. DraftKings.
And I do FanDuel every week, but I don't have any, you know, no one's telling me what to buy or whatnot. Anyway, your NFTs enter you into it. So like the contest I entered with my free pack was 7,000 people entered the tournament, and they paid out 3,500 people each of that 3,500, or maybe it was 5,000, 2,500 of them got like $3. And I guess the idea behind that is, and again, you've already entered, so it's a free entry because you already have those NFTs. You have your free pack. The idea is that you take those $3 and you go buy more cards to stack your team, upgrade, just like you would if you were doing a regular, you know, DFS, except for you're using real money or, you know, real funds to buy each of your cards. So
I guess the
one thing I can't figure out with it, and I don't think it's possible, is I don't think you can enter more than one tournament each week. So whatever you enter, that's your squad.
Okay.
Now the person that was explaining it all to me, he had like 50 different cards, everything from rare to core to legendary.
Jeez. Collector.
Just things that, and he was like, look, I'm, you know, based off of what I got from my core pack, like he's in the positive, even with buying all those cards, as far as his funds go. Now he's not making $10,000. He's not making 20,000, you know, even probably even $500, but he hasn't had to invest any of his own money into it.
Just by winning contest or by flipping the cards?
He hasn't flipped any cards yet. This is just from being in the money on different contests.
Okay.
So
I guess they,
it's a cool concept. And like each game you go into, it'll tell you, like, hey, you need to be in, you have to have, let's say three rares to enter this. So two core players, three rares. Like that's how you can enter that. And usually the more the rare, the legendary, the dollars go up for what you can win. Now there is
makes it a fair contest if you do it that way, then probably.
Right. So you're not going into a tournament with just your core players when, you know, other guys might have legendaries or rainmakers. So it allows you to. So with this, so for instance, I entered the contest, which was a $10,000 top 2001 win $5. So I finished 3,800 out of 7,000 with my squad. And again, that was my free squad. So if I enter another one, you know, your requirements may be different. Now with this Dead Fellows thing, they're doing specific tournaments just for the people that have bought into this Dead Fellows pack. So if you have two or three, which if you buy the pack, you're going to have three. Now you could just, like Cole, you could go right now and buy on the secondary market, the, you know, probably three Dead Fellows NFTs for under $100. But and then you can enter these tournaments with your two core and your three Dead Fellows, and they're giving away prizes such as money again, Dead Fellows, and whatnot. So it's a cool concept. I really enjoyed learning about it this weekend.
So explain this. I got stuck on, you know, I understand the core, the Rainmaker, the legendary. Do they get you more points? So like a core guy can only, what's the difference? Because it's the same player, right? You got a core Trevor Lawrence and you got a legendary Trevor Lawrence. What's the difference? As far, I know they cost more, but what does it do?
So the way I understand it is that you're not getting like extra points because it's a legendary or it's a core or it's a elite. What it allows you to do to have those cards is to get into games or tournaments.
Higher stakes.
That have bigger payout.
Okay.
So, for instance, I'm looking at it right now. This one, it's a legendary tier. You have to have four elite cards and you have to have five legendary cards to enter. And first place gets $5,000 in cash.
Okay, so it's like your entry pass into the.
That's right. Yep. So it all, you know, it kind of all changes depending on what you want. You can easily just go into a core one where you have to have your requirement of six core players. For those, you're only going to win, you know, $5, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends. And I did read a Twitter thread a few weeks ago that there is a breakdown where the return on investment is actually lower if you go like with the highest level cards, which are the Rainmakers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's the max.
Yeah, like buying into those, like, yeah, they look cool, but your investment, your return on that investment is going to be much lower than if you stay in that like elite to rare threshold.
Okay. I like it.
It's
intriguing. You know,
again, first year for it, and you can, there's plenty of opportunities to, you know, to learn about it as it continues to grow. So I got the first pack for me. This is my first in the Dead Fellows, one of my favorite projects. So the first card, and the cool thing about these packs, I don't know if you saw when you got the core, is that you can either release them off at one time or you can go one by one.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool. You can do whatever you want. So in these packs of Dead Fellows, you have more than likely you're going to get two core Dead Fellows, and there's like a better than 50% chance that you're going to get 50-50 chance your third card is going to be a rare.
I like it. You're going to do them one by one for us live.
The difference between the rares is in the regular is more so coloring. So
okay.
My first card.
You're doing them one at a time.
One at a time.
Nice. What we got?
We got Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
Running back. Las Vegas Raiders. A core. But looking at my card pack, my running backs currently are Michael Carter from the Jets, who is now going to be the starter, yeah, and David Montgomery of the Bears. So Josh Jacobs automatically goes into my starting lineup.
I like it. And this was the non-dead fella.
This is dead fella.
But he's not zombied. He's just a regular Josh Jacobs.
No, he's
he is a zombie. Ooh, nice. Okay, yeah. So are they all this way?
All the 13 players,
yeah, okay,
are going to be like this.
Okay, cool, cool. I was confused.
Sorry, I probably didn't explain it well. My next player, Alvin Kamara, rare.
Wow. Wow. Nice pull. This is like opening a Pokemon pack.
So yeah, sick. He's got the blue,
yeah,
in there, whereas Josh Jacobs was just black and silver.
Okay.
And then my third pick.
Drummer.
Alvin Kamara, core.
Okay, so you got two. So that one you probably flip.
I got two, so now I try to flip it.
Yeah, I like it.
However, I can't. There's no point in flipping it until they're all sold out.
Yeah, true.
There won't be any return. So I'll play them this weekend. I got two good running backs. I might go in the marketplace and see if I can get a quarterback for cheap, a wide receiver for cheap.
I thought you get 13.
I have $100 in my account, left in my DraftKings account. So maybe I buy another pack and see what happens. Getting 13 really isn't that hard to get all 13, and who knows what the airdrop could be.
Yeah. So you only get three in the pack.
You get three in the pack.
I thought you got 13. Okay. Yeah. I'm way confused.
No, there's 13 total players that have been dead fellas.
Oh, out of the whole league.
Out of the whole league. So that's Josh Jacobs, Alvin Kamara, T. Higgins.
Oh, nice.
Tyreek Hill, Jalen Hurts, Matt Stafford, Nick Chubb, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool.
Dread
King. Missing four other players, but regardless, yeah, Debo Samuel's one.
Mm.
So if you get those, any of those guys, you get those cards regardless.
Yeah.
And then after this weekend, I believe is the only weekend that they're going to be having like the specific Dead Fellas events, but you can use them in your events going forward.
Okay.
For core or for rare or whatever, whatever threshold you're going into.
So you have to get the rest of your team to play.
Yeah, but I have my core players already.
Yep.
Right? So I could potentially play like an event that was mostly core and you had to have one rare to enter.
Okay. I'm following.
But what I'll look at is I'll look at the events from that are specific just to this Dead Fellas event for them. And I'll enter those this weekend.
Yeah.
With the hopes of getting top 10 or whatever. I need to – my team isn't very good. I mean, my quarterback's Marcus Mariota.
Mm.
My running backs now are set better than what I already had. I have T. Higgins as a core, and I have Rashad Bateman from the Ravens as another wide receiver. So I need to kind of step that position up and my quarterback up, which I'll probably maybe take the chance of getting – spend another 100 on Dead Fellas and hope to get like Jalen Hurts or Matt Stafford and another wide receiver. But, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
And I like this. I'm going to have to get in on this, I think, as well.
I went through like a whole hour-long just like learning process this weekend. And, when you have a lot of beers, you talk for a while, you learn a lot. And It was cool to understand and really see what it all is doing. Plus, with the utility to it, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think maybe now's a good time to do it because you don't have as many people in on this, so maybe your chances are better of winning. I don't know. I would guess.
Right, because there's only, I think there was 4,500 packs left when I bought mine this evening.
Yeah.
Out of 10,400. So, yeah, nice. even out of 10,000, you still got some chances.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, I appreciate the rundown. Now I'm more knowledgeable myself and our audience as well.
That's right. That's what we're here for.
That's right. Yeah, now I got to go play. I'm going to have to load up another Hundy in my DraftKings.
Maybe. And that's the thing, is they make it so easy. Oh, Amari Cooper's another player on there.
There you go.
They make it so easy to do it. Like, you can just, which may or may not be a good thing depending on how you think of it, but you can just use your credit card. You can use PayPal, Venmo, any of that to buy your pack. So
I like it. I wish I could bet on DraftKings, but I don't think we can in South Carolina. They let you in North Carolina? No?
I don't know. I don't live there, so.
Oh, you're in South Carolina. Close enough.
Close enough, but no, they do not let you do it in North Carolina at the moment. Mm. If they could, you know, it's a 10-minute drive to get to the border, so I would definitely be doing that.
Yeah, I need the sports book piece of it.
Right.
But I guess I can play Rainmakers until then.
Yep, Rainmakers and DFS.
That's right, man.
But I like the fact that you can sell these cards, you know, on their marketplace. Just like we could sell our Slack Rock on the marketplace right now. Yeah.
What are they going for?
The only thing I don't like about their marketplace is I haven't been able to figure out how you can tell what sold or like what the floor price is for something.
Yeah. I haven't paid enough attention to it to know either. I bought the Slack Rock. I opened my core pack and then I got frustrated because I couldn't enter the tournament and I left. I didn't have a quarterback or something. And I think I bought like a cheap core Baker Mayfield just to be able to enter a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got hurt. So that was fantastic.
Probably bad pickup anyway.
It was horrible, but he was the cheapest quarterback and I was just trying to enter that one tournament that was free with the subduct thing.
Right.
And I had to have a quarterback, so I just like, you know, he was like $3, but still.
I guess I don't get another pack with my subduct, with my Sly Croc.
You get one free core pack.
Yeah, but I wonder if I don't know.
I don't even remember who it was.
I didn't get it.
My team was trash, I know that, but I don't remember who was on it.
Yeah, I didn't get a pack for buying the Sly Croc.
I think you had to do it that week.
Yeah, probably. That's all right. Sly Croc's sweet.
Yeah. What's the floor on the Sly Crocs?
I don't know. I don't know how to look it up.
Okay, yeah. Well, cool. DraftKings, Rainmakers. I'll be playing soon. Maybe this weekend. I'll get a nice lineup. Thinking about taking a break from golf, so maybe I'll play some DraftKings Rainmakers.
Rough week?
Yeah, we'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you know, back-to-back member guest weekends takes a toll on you. Takes a toll on you. A lot of golf. A lot of food.
A lot of drinking.
A lot of beers. Yep. Yeah, we'll do it to you. Out of town. Driving back, all that good stuff. But yeah, I'll give you the rundown here in a little bit. While we're on NFTs, though, we can switch over there in a minute. But I don't know if you saw big news this week that Warner Brothers is coming out with their first NFT film release, and they're going with Lord of the Rings. It's going to be the first major studio film release in an NFT format. I thought that was pretty cool.
All right. Explain that to me.
So it's going to be, I wasn't really an expert on it, but it's going to be, I guess you buy the NFT and you get like the extended cut movie experience. So it's going to be like a collectible for their avid fans, you know, so I think when you get the NFT, you get a complete 4K feature film version. It's the extended edition. There's interactive navigations in there, image galleries, collectibles. And I think you can take it and go into these different worlds with it and galleries and different stuff like that. But I don't know. It looked pretty cool. No one's really doing it. It's a big IP.
They're launching the Warner Brothers Movieverse.
Yeah.
8 hours of features.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of stuff. You got to be a really avid Lord of the Rings guy.
I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy. I don't do the sci-fi stuff.
I've been watching that new show on Amazon. It's a Lord of the Rings thing. It's pretty good. I had to go back and watch the movies, and I enjoy it. It's all right. You're probably a Lord of the G-Strings type guy. Dildo Saggins.
What's up, Brazil?
What's up, baby? But yeah, I don't know.
Did you see not to get off Lord of the Rings since it's riveting, but did you see that a house in South Carolina was sold as an NFT?
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to revisit that next. I saw something on Twitter where somebody was going to have the people that did it on his spaces or podcast or something.
Well, we need to figure that out. They're in South Carolina. We're in South Carolina.
That's right. Maybe they like golf too. Yeah, that was kind of crazy. You know, we were talking about that, you know, a month or two ago, how that could be a main use case for NFTs, where you take out all the contracts that you have to sit there and sign, and titles, mm-hmm. and lawyers and all that, and it's just on the blockchain. Takes you 10 minutes to buy a house. I don't know if I would do it yet. I mean, I think there's still some, that would kind of worry me, putting that much money into something like that, but I guess people are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for a JPEG at the same time. It doesn't even come with a house.
Adam Slipikoff is who did it.
Okay.
You gotta find Adam.
Yeah, find Adam. Maybe he's hanging out with AK. Can't find either one of them. But
Harvard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or Yale alum. Yale alum.
Is he?
No, maybe not. No, that's wrong.
False. Delete this. Edit
this. A Yale alum would be smarter than to buy something in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to be in that hellhole. It's like you saw the people ranting and raving about their stadium. Just, yeah, no thank you. Terrible. Terrible place to be.
What are Batcow NFTs?
So I guess this has been out for a while. I just came across this the other day. It's a DC comic Batman NFT. I guess the Batcow is actually like the mask, like the Batman mask. Okay. And DC Comics was, I think they're going to launch like 200,000. There's only like 12,000 out there right now. They're like $300 a piece. But I don't know. I thought that was very interesting. I mean, you know, it's one of the first comic book character NFTs. I guess they said it released in April, but I must have just totally missed this whole thing. I don't know if you did.
No, I hadn't heard of it.
But, you know, the last Batman movie was like $650 million at the box offices. So if you put that into an NFT, and I don't know what it's going to do for people, but it's a huge IP. You know, I thought they
There's
were cool.
2 billion possible variations.
Dang.
Whew.
It says you can get physical collectibles, behind the scenes content, merchandise, and fan events, I guess, with that NFT. I guess all the future Batman movies, maybe you get sneak peeks or something. Maybe some action figures. I mean, I don't know. But I thought it was pretty cool. If you're a Batman fan.
See, you're just starting to see like these big companies are they're not even worried about the collectability of it as much, but they're putting that utility behind it.
Yeah. I think Batman already is a collector, but you know, comic books, action figures,
right?
So they don't, they, something like that. Yeah, but yeah, I see what you're saying for sure. They've already got it with Batman, you know.
Exactly, right. So they don't, same with Warner Brothers, yeah. Right? I mean, they got figurines and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, I think we'll start to see that more and more as, you know, larger companies enter the space, but something to check out.
You think they'll be worth less in terms, I mean.
The NFT?
You know, when we had, we were talking about the match NFTs.
Oh, Tom Brady?
Yeah, with Jay.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't think it's worth anything, but whatever, it's cool to have. Like, I think that's, like, he got it because he bought, he watched the match, yeah. Right? So it's kind of like the POAP in a way.
Yeah, exactly. It's a collectible. Yeah, maybe one day people talk about the match. I don't know if necessarily that one, but yeah. Yeah, I like where you're, I get what you're saying.
We need POAPs for this.
POAPs for Web3 Putts.
You listen to this episode, we'll have a trivia question, and the winner gets a LIV golf hat.
There you go, LIV golf hats. Joel won't want that. Joel, throw it away. Don't give it to Joel.
I'll make sure he's wrong on whatever the question is.
There we go. One other quick thing on NFTs, then we can go to golf, kind of at that halfway point. But Lynx DAO, I don't know if you saw this, they're coming out with a thing called Lynx Champions, which I guess is going to be their PFP version or profile pick NFT. Should be pretty interesting. You know, right now they just have the little card as the NFT. A little, I guess, kind of your membership pass, just a card, picture of a card. Yeah. But it looks like they're going to be coming out with Lynx Champions. I don't know if they're going to be based off of, like, past champions, you know, famous golfers, Ben Hogan, people like that. I don't know. Did you read anything about it?
Yeah, I looked into it a little bit yesterday. When first I saw of it was when in the Head Covered DAO Discord.
Mm. I've been so absent.
Super active in that one, but I've just been somehow I get all the notifications anytime anyone says anything. So my phone's just blowing up day long.
Yeah, I disabled all that.
But it's cool because it's about golf. It's not like Wagme and all that shit all the time. But yeah, they were talking about it, and so you guys were talking about maybe buying one because the floor, I guess, on the leisure is 0.4.
Yeah.
But I think the issue that, and I'd love to have Lynx DAO and talk about it more, but people like in the Northeast, I don't know how much utility they're going to actually get out of being a member of Lynx DAO or some of these like European from Europe or China or somewhere in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Especially once they announce where their course is, like let's say they announce they bought Greer Country Club.
Greer.
Going back to a few episodes, right?
Yeah.
Like the, what does somebody in New York care about that?
True.
I mean, how often are they going to get to go play it?
Yeah. I mean, it depends who that person is. You know, I think if they've got access and funds, they would probably come down more. Like, you know, I played that member guest 2 weekends ago here in Bluffton, and I played against 4 guys. All of them lived in Boston, but they come down here like 5 times a year, and one of them is to play the member guest.
And they're members?
Yeah, they're members and never come play.
They're just out-of-town members?
Yep. So I think you'll have people like that, you know, but again, that takes probably a certain status, a type of person that doesn't care about paying the money and not never using it.
I guess it's kind of like the flying fish.
Yeah.
What Gary Vee's doing with the restaurant where you may only use it 3 or 4 times, but
it's cool to have.
You paid $3,000 for it.
Yeah. And
you sell that membership for $4,000.
Right. that, or, you know, you just don't care. $3,000 to some right. people.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're going to a private restaurant.
Yeah. Not worried about it.
No.
So, yeah.
I think, you know, the Lynx DAO stuff is probably one of the most prominent golf NFT projects.
Well, that, and you get all the discounts too. They got, you know, a lot of partners.
Yeah, all the partnerships with Callaway or Bridgestone or.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, they're doing it right. I mean, listening to their Twitter spaces, they got a really good thing going. We got to get a little bigger and we can get them on here.
Yeah, we need to reach back out to them.
Yeah, we're probably small. Too small.
No, they just don't. They don't know. We'll have to reach back out. We will have them on the show. Write this.
For sure.
Clip it.
For sure.
Clip it. But
let's manifest that one.
Yeah. Do you love wines from Sonoma? Well, it's never too late to stop making bad life decisions. Dedicated to honesty, quality, and family, Bueller Vineyards is a fourth-generation vineyard and winery perched on a mountaintop just 5 country miles east of St. Helena in the heart of Napa Valley. Situated on 300 acres, their family has been farming Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel for more than 5 decades. They attempt to combine meticulous vineyard management and minimal winemaking techniques to create wines of uncommon complexity and depth, and to present these wines to their customers at a fair and reasonable price. Cab is king, and Napa is its kingdom. Recruiting Solutions. Stay ahead of the hire. Recruiting Solutions is a full-service staffing, temp, employment, and recruitment agency with offices located in Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, South Carolina. With over 8 years of consecutive top 25 companies to work for in South Carolina, Forbes Top 100 Professional Recruiting, Forbes Top 100 Staffing Agency, and over 30 years in business. Whether you're looking for your next employee or your next career, give Recruiting Solutions a call. Well,
so you mentioned your member guests. Let's hear how everything went. This is what everybody looks for every week on the pod. How is Cole playing?
I wish I had better news for my fans. Oldfield. So I played Oldfield was the first one. That was two weekends ago. And it was good. It was a great setup. I played with Mr. Recruiting Solutions, our sponsor. So shout out to them. We had a great time. We battled hard, but we did not make it to the shootout. We won 2, tied 2, and we lost 1. And losing that match really, you know, if you lose a match in those type formats, you're not going to the shootout. You gotta have more points. But mm-hmm. I think we were three or 4 points out of it. We had some putts to the matches we tied. We had putts on the last hole to win them. And did not make those, but overall I played pretty well. Not as good as I should or have played before, but you know, like some 40s in there, 41, nothing great. I think I had a 39 actually in there too, but one morning we came out there and we had 4 birdies, just completely shut out the leaders on day 2. Mm-hmm. But the guys behind us were like blanking people, like 8 points, and also they kind of jumped us. But it was fun, man. We had a good time. They had an oyster roast one night and a nice dinner the next. So that was a good weekend. Watched the shootout, and a guy I actually played with on Saturdays, he ended up winning it. I think they came out of flight too. So
okay,
good tournament. Good tournament.
How's the course?
Of course is in great shape. We actually had rain Wednesday, and it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing. So it rained really hard. It rained 2 inches Wednesday. And I'm thinking, like, we're never going to – because course doesn't drain that great. So I was like, man, we're going to be screwed all weekend. But it was cart path only Thursday for the practice round. So my buddy and I walked. I got a new push cart, so I tried it out. We walked for the practice round, and then – we were able to ride the whole rest of the weekend. Greens are rolling good, probably 11, 12. Fairways were firm, so it was in great shape. Man, couldn't ask for a better weekend. We just didn't Didn't get it done. Didn't get it done, but we did not come in last. I think we were in third in our flight.
Okay.
So.
And then you had Green Valley.
So, yep, that was that weekend. I had Green Valley last weekend, so I went up to Greenville. Went out there to Green Valley, and I just lost the driver completely. I was hitting the driver good at Oldfield. Green Valley, I did not. I was out of balance all the time. And I'm playing with my buddy that invited me. He's a higher handicap player. Doesn't say much because I played about to his handicap, but I think he's like a 15. So we get put in the last flight. I came in there at 8, I believe. Some guy like 20-something or whatever total. So we're in flight 8, last flight, and I'm looking at it first day, first match. We show up. We are playing a 20 handicap and a 32 handicap.
Smoked.
This guy was getting 2 strokes a hole on me off of my ball.
Yeah. That sucks.
We won. We won the match. Actually, we won like 7-3, crushed him. But this guy, like, so we were playing a par 3. It's number 14 at Green Valley, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he pulls out a driver. It's playing like 150. Pulls out driver, hits this nasty banana slice, rolls it up onto the green, and 4 putts for a 5 net par. And I had shanked one or something. And I didn't shank one, but I'd missed the green and I chipped it long. And so I made bogey. Dude wins the hole with a 5 net par. So I'm thinking, like, this is going to be awful. But we end up beating them. We go to play the next group. I didn't get any strokes all weekend because I'm the lowest handicap in this flight. So we go to play this next guy. He's like a 28 or something. Yeah, stroke a hole. And we start playing. This guy's hitting bomb drives. And I'm looking at his clubs. He's got murdered out P790s. Black heads, black shafts.
Oh, yeah. I know those.
Yeah, they're sick. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this guy is a 28 handicap, and he's got the nicest clubs over here. He ended up making a bunch of par net birdies, and they beat us. So we lost that one. Fast forward, last day, we're three shots out of it, and we're playing the leaders Sunday morning. So we got to beat the leaders to have a chance to make it to the shootout. So we start out on hole 7, if you recall 7. Mm-hmm. Hit a nice little buttercut, 3-wood. Missed the green into that front bunker. Splash it out, up and in, birdie. So I'm thinking, like, let's go. You know, we got him. And these are the guys that are winning our flight. And again, this guy's getting a stroke a hole. He actually made a 5 net 4, so it's a good thing I made the bunker shot. We go to number 8, par 3. First guy gets up, pummels one right into the woods by the water over there. White stake, OB. Remember this. This is important. Next guy gets up, hits in the water, straight ahead. So my partner and I had hit ours up by the green left. And I was like, let's go up here and look at our lies and stuff, because we're going to have to chip over that left bunker. So let's go see what we got up here. So we go up there. They drop, hit up, and I chip over. We both make 4. Well, one of the guys hits in the bunker. He's going to stroke. Hits in the bunker, chips up real close to like 3 feet and to a gimme, so I give it to him. So he's like, yep, that was 5-4. I didn't know he was getting a stroke on a par 3 course, but we knew. So he says 5-4. So we tie the hole. And I didn't really think about it too much. I go to the next hole, and we finish the next hole. I look at my partner. I was like, wasn't he white stake OB on that hole? Because he blasted it into the woods, right? But he pulled out, played from the ladies' tee, and said he made 5-4. And so I'm looking.
Cheating scandal.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking at my partner. My partner is a banker, and he actually had the bank loan on this guy's commercial building. He's like a dentist. So, like, he was actually, the guy was his customer. So I was like, Bob, I don't want you to lose a customer, but we're gonna have to tell these guys they're cheating because we won that hole, and this could be huge, you know, down the stretch because we're playing the leaders. And he's like, I don't know. I said, no, we're gonna have to tell them. He's like, let's wait a hole and see. I was like, it's only gonna get worse if we wait. So we wait another hole. Finally, we're on the green on the next hole, and he's like, guys, it's been bothering me, but y'all were out of bounds white stake. So you were not hitting, you were dropping hitting four on that lady's tee box. So you made a 6-5. And they're like arguing with us, get real pissy. Well, we'll look at it at the end. We'll go back and look at it at the end, but I don't think so. Like, well, yeah, the rules, clearly you were way right of that white stake.
Right.
Dude doesn't talk to us for 3 or 4 holes and says nothing. And it actually kind of worked out in our favor. I think he got so flustered that he started hitting bad. So we go to the next tee. It's number 1 handicap, par 3, like playing 200. I stick one from 2 feet, gimme, birdie. So we go up one, play the next hole. I think we tie. We end up going up 2 or 1s. Anyways, we beat them by 1 as the card sits, a 6-4. But we go back to number 8 because we're going to fight this. It should have been 7-3. We needed the extra point because we were behind 3 points anyways from them.
Right.
So we go back to the 8 tee box, and we're sitting there arguing with these guys. A group behind us comes up and is like, hey, we're already starting match 2. What are y'all doing? I was like, no, Bob, we have to work this out because they could, this could be a huge determining factor. So we keep arguing. Finally, we have to leave because all the second matches have started. This was the first match of the morning. And we still got to go turn our card in. So we go back and we're in a hurry, and they're like, well, guys, I just think we just leave it as the card sits. And I, again, it was Bob's customer. I was like, dude, I know you don't want to lose this customer, but this is total BS. We were late anyway, so we kind of just let it go. We'll see what happens. Maybe karma will come back and see. We'll see what happens. Those guys end up winning the whole tournament. And so if you were to go back and take away that point, the second place team in our flight would have been in the shootout and not them. So they won the whole Green Valley member guest on a scandalous out of bounds shot. They were cool guys. Like the guys that were in second, we didn't really like. We didn't enjoy playing with them, so we didn't say anything to the pro or anything at the end. But technically, they should not have even been in the shootout. So they ended up winning our flight by 1.5. The person in front of us was 1 point ahead of us, so we were 1.5 back. We finished 3rd on that one, too. Technically, we finished 2nd, though, if you count the cheater. And we beat the winners of the tournament.
First loser in your flight, right?
Yeah, but we beat the tournament winners, so I consider us champions.
Hey, by the transitive property, you are the winner.
And the winner. We beat the cheating champions. So, yeah. That was my member guest weekends. Didn't hit the ball.
So is member guest season over, or you got one more?
It's over for now. We didn't get into Jesse's. I was supposed to play in it with my buddy in like 2 weeks, but we were on the waiting list and didn't get in.
Cool.
They have 2. They have 2 a year. Yeah, I've played it twice.
Okay.
I played it earlier this year. So they have one in the spring, one in the fall, and I played the spring one this year.
Okay.
I have a member in 2 weeks, but I don't know if I'm going to play in it or not. I'm kind of frustrated. I couldn't keep the ball in play. I was OB all the time, and I put way too much pressure on my 15 handicap partner.
Well, hopefully we can make next Tuesday happen.
Yeah, I looked at my schedule. I should be good to play an afternoon round, like 2-ish, right. one or 2. Should be plenty of time.
We can make it happen. I'll confirm.
Yeah, confirm on your end, and let's do the dang thing.
Hell yeah.
So I might be taking a break from golf.
Everyone's favorite segment before we get out of here tonight.
Live Minute.
Live Minute. Finals of Live this weekend. Miami. Vice City. Mm. Trump Doral. One of the courses we talked about with Greg early in our podcast history about how the PGA Tour abandoned Trump Doral when he was president. Blue Monster, one of the courses that the players love, always gets a good turnout. But they get the finals this week for Live, and it's a little bit of a weird, very hard to understand. They're just trying to figure things out as they go. It's year one. So I'm as a resident guy that's going to watch Live on Friday at 12:15 on YouTube. First four teams, top four seeds going into it, get a bye. Teams 5 through 12 will compete in head-to-head match play competitions. Inside of each of those matches in the quarterfinals, you'll have two players from each team playing heads-up matches against two players from the other team. The other two players from the team will play alternate shot foursomes match. And whoever has the most points will advance to the semifinals.
Alternate shot is tough.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with like some of these guys.
Yeah.
The one cool thing about it is that there are no ties. So if it has to go 37 holes, they'll go 37 holes. So you're going to get as many points. So teams earning 2 points each match is a point. So if you earn 2 points, then you advance to the semifinals. Semifinals is going to be the seeds 1 through 4, they will now come in. The highest ranked teams get to select their opponents from the guys coming in from the teams coming in from the quarterfinals. So it's not like a random draw, or it's not like 1 versus 8 or whatever it is. They get to pick. So if they say the aces are number one, which is DJ, Reed, those guys, they can look and say, oh, well, Phil's playing like shit. Let's pick him. Mm-hmm. His team, we're going to go after them.
That's kind of cool.
Shotgun start again. 2 singles matches, 1 alternate shot. And again, you earn 2 points. You go on to the team championship, which is the final day. And final day is going to be all 16 players. So there'll be 4 teams in the final day on Sunday. Shotgun start. All 16 teams go out in twosomes. Team captains play together, and then they select the pairings after that. All 4 scores for each team is going to count for the team. And at the end of Sunday's round, whichever team has the lowest score, regardless of who they are, they win the Invitational Series Team Championship. Mm. It's just a little idea. If you finish 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. So basically, if you're one of the 4 teams that do not make it to out of the quarterfinals, your team makes $1 million, so $250,000 each. If you're one of the 4 teams that do not make it out of the semifinals, your team earns $3 million each, or $3,750,000 per person. And then first place wins $16 million as a team, $4 million for the team or per person, $8 million for second place, $2 million per person, $6 million, $4 million after that. So a lot of money on the line. We already saw some fireworks between Phil and Koepka today at the press conference.
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter. I didn't actually see the video.
I mean, it feels a little WWE to me.
Yeah.
WWF in my time. maybe there was something that was, I don't want to say it was like contrived, but you know, there might've been some talk behind the scenes of like, hey, we're going to do this
scripted.
But at the end of the day, you never would see it on the PGA Tour, and I think that's what they're going for, whether good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, we know Joel doesn't like it, but Joel probably doesn't like Barney either. So, yeah, I'm excited. It'll be fun to watch. You know, Broncos play at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning out in London, which is great. So I get it out of the way. They'll be ready to play it. The Live will come on at noon, so I'll have that on TV number two. Just can't beat it, man.
And that's the Live minute.
Live few minutes.
That was the Live minute. So can you – I have YouTube TV now. Can you watch it on there? It has to be YouTube specifically.
I don't know.
I haven't seen it on YouTube.
I'm sure you can watch it.
Yeah.
There. That won't be a problem. Just go to – search, just like if you were to watch any YouTube video, just search Live Golf and it'll be the first thing that pops up.
I'll have to check it out. I might watch it this weekend since I'm going to take a break. I'm going to set the clubs down for a little bit. Maybe I'll watch golf.
Your wife is going to appreciate that.
Probably. I've left her by herself for the last 2 weekends so.
Right.
I'm sure I got a few things I got to do around the house. Can't win them all.
No. What else we got? We got one last thing. AK?
Yeah, AK, man. Did you see that, the Golf Digest article?
Yeah, I read it. I've read it a couple times just to kind of understand it.
Yeah, I was kind of struggling myself, but it sounds like he's just one of the players that are on the list of the antitrust suit.
Yeah, so during this lawsuit, to go into discovery, Liv has asked for documentation of every person that the PGA Tour has spoken to regarding Liv Golf.
Right.
The PGA Tour came back and was like, that's impossible. That's like over 2,000 names and conversations. Like, we just can't. That's not going to happen. So they agreed to a number of
200, right?
200. No.
It says nearly 200 names. So
yeah, right. Okay. That's right. Yep. So apparently Anthony Kim's name is in there, in that 200. Now it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean that he was ever offered by Liv. It doesn't ever mean that the PGA Tour ever contacted Anthony Kim and said, hey, are you with us or are you going to go with them? It's just his name of the 71. His name was listed as a golfer under the 71 individuals out of those 200 players or 200 people.
I said Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player was on there too, so it's not necessarily like – active players either.
Obviously. Right. And we knew obviously Gary Player is sponsored by Golf Saudi. Jack Nicklaus, from what he said, had been offered $100 million to do something with the tour. Whatever it may be. It doesn't mean anything. It's always good to see Anthony Kim's
His name is out there again. It's not just us mentioning him.
It's not, but I kind of feel like because of us.
I mean, somebody on the tour listened to our podcast. Somebody at Golf Digest listens to us.
Yeah, maybe the reason he's getting put into this lawsuit is because of us. Oh. That's a very realistic possibility.
Could be. We need to reach out to him and tell him we're sorry. We didn't mean to drag you down this rabbit hole.
Oh, AK?
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to LA. I got it. I'm going in February. So I've got it on my calendar to just go around and find Anthony Kim.
Well, somebody at the PGA Tour knows where he is because they've spoken to him.
Somebody did.
So there's our first lead.
Figure out who that is.
Let's
go to Ponte Vedra. We'll go to Jacksonville and figure it out. Hey, who talked to AK?
Yeah.
How'd you talk to him?
Somebody.
Morse code, carrier pigeon.
Somebody did, dude. Somebody did. Get Scooby-Doo on the case. We got to figure it out.
We can do that.
Got to figure it out. I don't know, too, one other thing before we go. I don't know if you saw Chris's email, but we might be starting up a Twitter Spaces as well, so our fans be on the lookout for that.
Oh, I don't check the email, so it's on you.
I'll forward it to you, but Chris, who we had on the show earlier this year,
Jason Pars
is starting up a Twitter Spaces weekly and has asked us to be a part of it.
Absolutely, let's do it.
So that might be coming soon on the radar. Everybody check us out there as well. Some details we're still working out. I'll forward you the email so you can input too. But something exciting in the works.
Love it.
Anything else you got for us tonight, Rusty? That's all I got.
No, I'm good, man.
We need to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, on our socials, Web3Putts. Email us if you'd like to be on the show, if you have any questions, anything we can do at web3putts@gmail.com. Thank you to our sponsors. Without the show, it wouldn't be possible. And we just ask that everybody would give us a review. If you like the show, subscribe, rate, review. It would help us out a lot. And until next time, my friend, maybe we'll see you here locally next week.
That's the hope.
Sounds good, man. Enjoyed it as always. Have a good rest of the week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.